How many of you would like to head off to Children's Church right about this time? I like that when I see people shaking their head no. Because I'm glad of that. And I truly love that because the reality is it's during these times that we can be together when we come to this portion in worship. And a lot of people don't think of the sermon time as worship. A lot of people think of the sermon time as teaching or preaching. And if you know me, you know that Pastor really is a teacher. I love to teach the Scriptures. I love to teach God's Word because the Word is for Christians. It is to bring others to Christ. But when we're in church on Sunday, it's truly to teach you that you may go out from here and be prepared and equipped to do the work and the will of God. Okay, when we have a time of teaching and discipleship building, that is when we're building you up as Christians. That's called discipleship hour. Okay, and there's a reason for that, because in that is where we would bring in people who aren't Christians yet to have them learn about Christ and why we believe what we believe, and it's working out those salvation issues in that period of time. But when we're here on Sunday, we're here to worship God, and we're here to prepare you, because your life and what you do in it is meant to be worship unto God. And one of the aspects that is worship is the reality that we take the Word of God out into this world and give it away. Okay? And today we're going to be looking at that, because we're going to be speaking about how to share God's plan of salvation. How many of you look at that and say, woohoo? I got one hand in the air. The rest of you are kind of like, yeah, okay, Pastor, if you say so. The reality is we should be excited about sharing God's plan of salvation with our world. It is an act of worship because we're leading others, we're speaking about others, about the only one who can save us from our very selves and give us the hope of eternity. So today, that's exactly what I'm going to do. This is the next step. This is the next outline, the next point in the outline about witnessing. So I'd like you all to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, beginning in the 4th chapter in verse 1. So turn, please, with me to the book of Acts in the 4th chapter. We're going to begin in the first verse. Now, it's really kind of neat because when I prepare these sermons from the Little Master's outlines, which, by the way, I haven't checked this with the elders, but I think I'm going to make this announcement anyhow. I would like to make these available to the church, these little red books that I've been preaching out of, okay? Several of us have some already. I think Missy has one. Yep, Missy has one. Dan has one. In fact, I got mine from Dan. Dan gave me this one. And then I've seen a couple others. Miss Sally has one. And Brother David has one, so he can preach out of. Oh, there's another one. Yep, there's one. Mr. Lyle has one. And the reality is this little book is an awesome little book. And what I'm going to be talking about today is all in here, that if you get to the place, and how many of us should get to the place where we're sharing the gospel, this little book will help you walk a person up the ladder of death to the plateau of salvation. Now, the awesome thing is we all know that once we reach that plateau, it doesn't end there, does it? There are yet hills to climb and valleys to conquer. But once we've come up the steps of the ladder of salvation, we now know our Lord and Savior. And there's a way to get up those steps, and it begins in this chapter is where it comes from. And it's kind of funny because it's one little verse nudged in amongst all of what we're going to read here today, but I need to read all of it so you understand. So beginning in the first verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from them. They ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name." They called them again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Here these two guys are, and they're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are being healed. And the hierarchy says, "You can't do that anymore." Is that starting to sound familiar? It ought to, because it's happening here. Can you believe it? It is happening here. And we need to be ready to reply. But in our reply, we also need to know what to say to those who are coming unto salvation. Because these men that were bringing the accusations were not coming unto salvation. They were coming unto condemnation. All right? They were coming unto damnation. And as we understand what's going on in our lives, it is imperative that we have an idea of what to speak to those who are climbing that ladder out of the pit. We climbed that ladder out of the pit. That's why we're here, amen? Sometimes I look at the church and I wonder how many people are still only halfway up the ladder. Because we just aren't quite there yet, are we? Now, I have to say, in all aspects of my life, I've not arrived. Okay, my plane didn't come in. I'm still on the journey. And it's a long journey, amen? But where I'm confronted with the gospel, I submit to it. Not because I want my will, but because I want what? God's will in my life. And in God's will, I find peace. I find blessing. I find compassion. I find love. So we need to be able to speak that word of truth. We need to be able to share our salvation in such a way that it helps lead others to that very place. That's what God calls us to. We are to go into this world. And I think it's kind of neat because, you know, we've really turned that scripture on its head, because the reality is in the Hebrew it says, as you are going, as you are living, is a better interpretation. As you are living, in other words, while you're at the grocery store, when you go to the library, when you're at the hairdressers, you know, guys, when you're at the auto mechanic store, you know, wherever you happen to be, as you are going, teach, baptize. Wouldn't it be cool to baptize somebody at AutoZone? I'm sure they have a water fountain there. I want you to think about that. There's reality in that word that I just spoke. And I don't mean to be critical, but we all laughed, didn't we? And I meant it to get a laugh. But do you think God means it to get a laugh? No. God means it so that others may find salvation and find hope. So as we're going, how do we do this? There are two ways that we share God's truth. The first one is really easy, and I taught you this a couple weeks ago. You simply know that when there's a time that God is going to lead you to a place where all you do is share the gospel. Because that person is ready to receive, and all you need to do is speak the truth. The three simple little words that I taught you, three little phrases that I taught you. Do you remember what they are? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? First, that Christ died for your sin according to the Scriptures. Second, that He is dead and buried and He took your sins into hell with Him. And third, and He rose again from the dead, setting apart our sins from us. And now the life He lives unto the Father, and so too do we in Him. And we are free from our sins. Three simple little points. And there are many out there who that's all they need to hear. There are many that when they are confronted with the gospel, at that moment, they're ready to accept. But we as the church fall short because we don't do the follow-through. We don't bring the question because we're afraid to ask the question. What is the question? You'll have to wait until next week. But I have more to teach because there's a second way. Okay? And that second way is a way that truly takes us up the steps of the ladder of salvation, out of the pit of death, and onto the plateau of salvation. The first of those seven steps is very easy and very real, and it's what these gentlemen did. These gentlemen here spoke about Christ and how they had crucified Him and how no other name. They gave a testimony. You are to give your testimony. When you are in the presence of someone and you sense the Holy Spirit is leading you to draw them to salvation, and believe me, that happens more than we allow it, because we simply shut off. Oh no, I can't say that here. I can't do that here. Oh, I'm at Denny's. I can't do that in a public restaurant. Jesus shared a meal with many people and brought them unto salvation. Do you think He cares if it's at Denny's or at my dinner table? No. It's wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. And when that happens, share your story. Now, don't give them a novel. Okay? They don't need the long version that took 18 years to get through. All right? They don't have that kind of time, and neither do you. Short story, okay? We all know what the short story is, right? And that's what we give them. We give them the short story of how you met God and how God changed your life and how God gave you the hope of glory. The short story. Because they need to know that they can connect with you, that there's a reality here, that this person is real, and that you've been down this road. People like to know that they're in the company of like-minded folks, right? Because if you can understand it, you can stand under it. And that's what folks need. So the first step is really easy. Share your story. Share your witness. Share your testimony. Now the second is kind of neat. And we all know it. Because the second step, and I hope you're all writing this stuff down if you don't have one of these little red books. Because like I said, if you don't have one and you would like one, we're going to get a sign-up sheet. Because I think they're $6 a piece. They're like $5.97. Okay? $7.95. Do I hear eight? You have three of them at home? Okay. So there's at least three of them available right now, but we will get more for you. If you're interested, please see Brother Dan, and he will see to it that we get them for you. Would you take care of that, Daniel? Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a wonderful little book. Fits in your pocket, goes in your glove box, okay? Put it in your, and carry it with you. But the second step is one that we all know. Turn in your Bibles to John 3:16. Do we need to turn to John 3:16? What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave. We need to be able to share that reality, share the fact. We need to be able to say that. It is a fact that God loves you so much that He gave His Son. And you tell them, that's John 3:16. That's John 3:16. Do you know that's the scripture that brought me to salvation? The funny thing was, I didn't know it was John 3:16. All I can remember is my great-grandmother speaking to me, God loves you so much that He died for you. That's how she taught me John 3:16. And when it came time for my salvation, those were the words that resounded through my head. And guess what I did? I said, Lord Jesus, if You're real, show Yourself to me, and I'll follow You all the days of my life. I'm here. Short story, right? Short story. Share the love of God. Share the fact, and it is a fact. And when you're done sharing that fact, you know, and this is why you want this little book, because you can literally show it to them that, hey, this isn't my word, this is God's word. This has been written down, this has been here for over 2,000 years. This has been here for over 2,000 years, and it's not changed since, and it won't change ever. And when you get the person to that point, you know, and this is the funny thing, because we don't like to ask questions, do we? We don't like to ask questions because we might get an answer. Ask that person a question at the end. Once you've shared the fact, you've shared your testimony, you've shared the fact that Jesus loves us. Now, and say us, okay? Please pay attention to my terms of use, of word usage here. Us. Include yourself in the equation. There's a certain point where we're going to turn from that because you need to address the person. But God loves us, okay? And ask the person the question, isn't it wonderful that God loves you? Okay? Us. Bring them in with the us. You know, God loves us. But isn't it wonderful that God loves you? And, you know, a lot of people, they're going to say, well, I agree with it. Yeah, God loves me. Okay? Get them involved in this process. Because if they're not climbing the ladder with you, they've still got their feet planted firmly in the pit of death. Get them on the first rung. Ask the question, isn't it wonderful? That doesn't even sound like a question, does it? But it requires a response. Isn't it wonderful that God loves you? And use their name if you know it. How many of us like to hear our own name in a conversation? We all love to hear our name. Use their name. The third thing that we need to do is share the fact that we are sinners. That who are sinners? We are sinners. Okay? Share the fact that we are sinners. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 4 and 23. Romans 4 and 23. And these are just short little verses. These are just short little verses. In Romans chapter 4, verse 23, that's not right. 3:23. Sorry about that. How did I do that? Dyslexia. There we go. Wow. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." We need to let them know that it is a fact that all of us fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, okay? Each and every one of us has sinned. All of us are sinners. Now, people are going to look at you and they're going to say, "Well, I'm not a sinner." Have you ever told somebody that Santa Claus is coming to town? Oh, that's cool. Have you ever told somebody that you're going to be there and then you don't show up? I'm not asking her, I'm looking over here. Started there and went over here, right? Because I don't want to, okay? We all do those things. How many of us fudge on our taxes just a little bit? How many of us do things that when somebody's not looking, oh, well, you know, nobody will see that. We need to remember one thing. Somebody sees everything, knows everything. And in the reality of all of our lives, how many of us can say that I never got mad at somebody that didn't deserve it? Driving down the road, there's a lot of people that deserve it. The reality is we are all sinners, and that's one of the things that you need to do. And it's that simple, because I can make you all laugh, and you'll do the same thing with the people that you're talking with. Because they're going to laugh too. They're going to say, "Oh yeah, well, I guess." Then you're dead in your sin. That's the fourth step. Do you see what I just did? I just got you to admit that you are a sinner, and now you need to hear the fact that you are dead in your sin. You are dead in your sin. And where does that come to us from? That comes to us from Romans 6 and 23. Romans 6 and 23. Romans 6 and 23. Just a few pages back, it says what? For the wages of sin is death. Now, some people may not understand that because they've not been walking with God, so you may have to do some explaining there. What does that mean? Well, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. No, you're dead to God. You are spiritually dead. God cannot interact with you. God cannot turn His face towards you, and you will never see eternity. You are spiritually dead to God because you have chosen to sin. And in that, you cannot make it into heaven. You made a choice. And God has made a choice. Because God set His law, He set His word before us, and He tells us thus and such. And when we don't walk in that in a right manner, we are stuck in death. And we need to come to that place of understanding that we're dead in our sin. And when you get that person there, don't leave them stuck down there, okay? None of us like to be down there because that's the one place where you may turn off your conversation if you let the person stuck in the bottom of the pit understanding that they are a sinner and they're dead. Well, then what's my hope? And they're done and they're out of there. The very next words out of your mouth need to be the words of encouragement and of grace. Remember, we are sons and daughters of God Most High, the giver of love and life. Amen? And He did not let us there, did He? Speak unto them. Isn't it wonderful that even though we're dead in our sin, God loved us so much that He sent His Son for us? Get them involved in the next step on the ladder. Teach them what it means to walk up that ladder. You and I need to understand what it means to be able to present that ladder. Because as we ask these questions and we walk with them, didn't Jesus walk with us? No, he walked before us. He walks after us. He walks beside us, above us, below us, and in us. He envelops us. And that's what we need to begin to try to do with this individual. Not that we can, because we're not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can use us to start that process where he can start softening that heart at this moment. Because right now, this person has found out that they are dead and they are never going to see eternity, and that's a reality because God's Word says it, and you need to give them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that reality. That as a sinner, that we are dead in our sin. And that's Romans 6 and 23, as I said. But then we've got to take them to step 5. Step 5 is an awesome step. Because step 5 is where we share the fact that Christ died for them. Okay? We went from we at the beginning to you at the point where they are now dead in their sin. And now we're going to speak to them about what Jesus has done for them, okay? Because Jesus Christ died for you. Romans 5, 6 through 8. This is called, does anybody know what this is called, this thing that I'm doing with you right now? It's called the Romans Road. The Romans Road to Salvation is what it's called. And in this scripture, we find from 6 through 8 the reality that you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when you've just shared that with the individual, man, go into a point of jubilee. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great to know that God's love for you is so great that he would not leave you dead in sin unless you want to stay there? Do you want to stay there, or do you want to come up out of that death? You're inviting them. You're inviting them. I want you to think about that. A person who really understands now that they're dead in their sins, do you think that person is going to stay there knowing there's a way up the ladder, knowing there's a way out? No. If the Holy Spirit is walking with you and you've gotten this far, brothers and sisters, you're almost at the finish line. Your heart should be thumping a million miles an hour. You should hear that sucker pumping blood in your eardrums. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. That's how excited you should be. Because you know that all of glory is about to scream out loud because this person is just about ready to make that next step. And as they speak that answer to you, then you take them to step number 6 and you tell them that I want to share with you the fact that you can be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then take them in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Now this is where I deviate from the little red book, because the little red book takes you to the book of Acts, okay? But I like Romans 10 because it finishes the Romans road. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. And I think this is neat. Now I'm going to go back here to verse 8 just a little bit. Because it's like I said, if you've got the person to this point and you know, this is what God says. He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. This is how near that person is. Did you ever have one of those words or a thought that you wanted to say something and it was right there on the tip of your tongue and you just, oh my heavens, what was that? What was that? That's what he's talking about here. It's almost as if you know where you need to go next. You know what needs to happen, but you need just that little nudge, right? You just need that little nudge. And God says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord not might, will. And brothers and sisters, when you've expressed that reality to that individual, when you've brought them to that place, and you've got them there standing on the precipice, get them ready for the next step. Get that next question out that says, isn't it awesome that God's love is so great for you, that you don't have to do anything, that he paid your price, and all you have to do is believe by faith. We don't have to do anything else. It sounds so simple, it sounds so stupid, but it's so real, because it's by faith we believe and are saved, and it is with our mouth that we confess and are healed. And that's the spiritual healing from death to life. And when you get them to that point, there's one more step. And that is to present the question that David will tell you about next week. You see, I'm going to leave you hanging. But when we get a person to this point, we don't leave them hanging. We got to finish the road. We've got to finish what we started. But brothers and sisters, what David's going to present to you next week is so important. This last step is so important. It deserves an entire service. Because this last piece, you've just led them up the ladder. But this last piece is where Jesus Christ himself is knocking on the door of their heart, asking them to open up. And you get to back off just a little and watch as God works with one of his children and get ready for glory to happen right in front of you. But today, I want to encourage you, write these things down. If you didn't write them down, and you every Christian should know what I'm speaking of here, get one of these little red books. Put it in your purse. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your glove box. I don't care where you put it. Don't put it on the shelf. Okay? Don't lay it under the coffee table. Because the reality is, we are coming ever closer to the day as we see the darkness encroaching all around us, that the word of truth needs to be given to every and anyone who will believe. Because brothers and sisters, there is an hour coming when it will no longer be day. For when the Holy Spirit is removed from this world, do you realize the darkness that we will find ourselves in? No, I pray not. I pray that the Lord takes us out of here before that happens, but I fear that we're going to be here in this mess for a little while. That we're going to be tested, we're going to be tried, because testing and trial begins with who? The church. Begins with God's own, that he may separate us like chaff. that he may separate us like the sheep and the goats, that truly those who are meant to come in, come in. You and I need to be ready, because it says, in that day will Christ find faith on earth. Will he find us out there bringing his gospel to those who are in need? If he came today, how many of us could say, oh yes, Lord, I spoke to no people in the last 10 months about you? Because that's faith. It's not about living our lives in the Scripture. It's about being alive in the Scripture and being Christ to this world. Jesus taught and brought salvation unto his own death. Are we willing to do the same? As the Church of Jesus Christ, remember, he's not asking us to die. There are some who do, and that's those who are martyred. And we all know that because it still happens today. But for many of us, we might get laughed at. We might get told no. Is there anything wrong with being laughed at or told no? You just laughed at me how many times today? I laugh at me almost every time I look in the mirror. Because this guy ain't who he used to be years ago. And his nose keeps getting bigger and his ears keep drooping. I look in the mirror and I say, man, Paw ain't far off. And I laugh. Remember, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to him. And for that, we should cry. Would you join me this day in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, you have prepared us. You have given us the hope of glory. You have shown us how to present the gospel. You have shown us how to lift someone up, because you, Lord God, have lifted each and every one of us up. Because somewhere in our lives, each and every one of these steps was performed. They may not have been performed all at once, but they were all performed, to the point where we finally came to the place of understanding and realizing that we were standing at the cross of Calvary, and it was our moment. And Lord, as we prepare for next week, when Brother David shows us the importance of that moment and just how to walk into your glory, that you would prepare us to receive it, that we may go from here this day, eagerly awaiting the day, to know and be as Christ in this world. Lord, strengthen us by the power of your grace. And Father God, protect us and hem us in both front, back, and from every side. And mostly, Lord, from within, for we are our own worst enemy. But Lord, the great enemy is out there, and he is roaring like a lion and devouring many. Walk with us and guide us to be a protector and protected by the love of Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's church said, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.